Welcome to The Hours. I'm Tyler here with Mark. We are Savvy Coaching. Mark's repping LSU. I'm repping the Pickleball US Open because we want to keep it fresh here at Savvy. We don't want to always just wear Savvy gear. Speaking of which, you can go to our gear store. Be the first commenter on this YouTube video with why you should get a free Savvy Basketball shirt. And if we like your comment, we'll give you one. If we don't like your comment, be the second commenter as to why we should give you a Savvy Basketball shirt, and we'll send it to you. How will we send it to you, you ask? We will contact you with a message and ask you for your address. That is how.
Yeah.
Mark, anything to add on that?
Yeah, I'm wearing a Pete Maravich jersey, I guess you would call this. He is the man. And then two, this reminds me of like back in the day, be the 10th caller on the radio. You win something. I remember calling into that.
Which now, being on this side of the mic, is like, you may or may not actually be the 10th caller. Just make your case and we'll pick someone.
Right. I remember even thinking like, well, don't call too fast because we don't want to be the first caller.
Right.
You got to time it well to be the 10th, which is outrageous.
Outrageous. Okay. Here's the topic for today. Is culture overrated? Does culture even really matter? And we really want to dive into this because we are all about culture building. We'll talk about culture in a moment as a word.
Tyler's doing air quotes for those listening right now.
We're all about culture building this month. We'll talk about whether culture actually matters. We're doing a 30-day challenge, 10 minutes a day. Do a daily challenge. You will establish an identity. I prefer that word. You'll establish an identity for your program at the end of 30 days. And we're sending out an email today where I'll make this guarantee here on the podcast as well. Come and try Savvy Coaching membership for $97 for 30 days. And if you didn't get $97 worth of value in 30 days, we will give you your money back. I'm confident we'll give you $97. I'm confident we'll give you way more than $97. But I actually don't even care if we give you $97 worth of value. If you get less than $97 worth of value and get your money back, what I am actually confident is we will have helped you and helped every player that you'll ever coach and have given your money back. And that is a win. A bigger win for us is that you are a lifelong member and we develop deep relationship and we can walk with you through this coaching journey and help you more. But I would be pleased to get 10,000 coaches coming in. We help you a little bit and then you leave and we give you your money back. And I'm just confident that that will have impacted basketball, which is really why we do this thing. Mark?
You know, you mentioned identity, and where I go to whenever I think of identity and just what it did for me in my coaching journey is I know for a long time when I was a head coach, I really cared about X's and O's. I didn't know about the culture piece and I didn't know how to develop an identity, my identity as a coach. And I didn't know how to get my teams to play with an identity. But I think I do agree that the watered down culture approach is a little bit like tiresome, just kind of like culture fatigue. But here's what I think about with culture that is probably not maybe traditionally thought of is I think culture is more short term than you think. Because culture is the way people behave. And I think you could change your culture. I think your culture is like 30 days ahead, 30 days back. Like if you just kind of think of like, hey, what's the culture of our team like right now? You're probably only thinking about the last 30 days or so. I say that like coaches, if you get in here and you do this 30-day challenge, I do think you can transform your culture in 30 days. After that 30 days, it would be up to you to uphold those standards that we're going to dive into. With talking about standards in general, but I do love shaping it as identity because I think that is where I have found a lot of value in a coach, even when people were beating the culture thing over my head. It kind of seemed like so ambiguous, like not tangible for me. It's like, it's just like this hard thing to achieve. But when you break it down into values and standards, I think it becomes very actionable and easy. Simple, but not easy.
Yeah, beautiful. So here, let's answer this question. Mark, does culture even matter? Like you defined it now, 30 days. Like I think what you said, if my interpretation of it is culture is kind of like temperature. It's a sampling of where you are at relationally, energetically, emotionally, mentally, physically. It's a sample of where your group of people are at right now. So does that matter?
Yeah. I mean, I think it does. I think the old saying of culture eats strategy for breakfast. I mean, I think you can get a lot of things wrong, but if you have a great culture, meaning your players have fun. They feel a part of something special. You're building really good relationships and deep, meaningful relationships. You're imparting like positive change in people. They like being in the gym. As a result, they're going to work really hard. They're going to be bought into what you're doing. I think you can get a lot of things wrong. You'd probably run flex or, you know, not have a great ball screen coverage in and still win some games. So I think absolutely it helps or it matters on a lot of levels. What about you?
No, I don't think culture matters.
I think there's a caveat coming.
I don't think culture matters if all you care about is winning as many games as possible. You can have, so this is, I've referenced this a couple times. I love emails back. When we send you a newsletter or we send you like even a sales email, please respond. If you're like, hey, this was kind of a crappy email, tell me. If you're like, man, this really hit for me, tell me. One coach that's on our mailing list, his name is Nelson. He is living a really cool life. He just said, hey, life's too short. He was coaching in California, working a corporate job. He said, life's too short. I'm going to follow my passion. We're going to sell everything we own, me and my wife. Not me, Nelson and his wife. Sell everything they own and move abroad. And their travels have taken them all over Europe. They've landed now in Spain. He got connected with a basketball club in Spain. He is just writing during the day and just coaching club basketball in Spain right now. And he's making these amazing connections. I'm on his newsletter as well as he talks to me about his journey. But he responded recently with this really long and heartfelt email disagreeing with something that I had said in my email. And we've had two or three exchanges back and forth. And I loved it. I got better. I believe that he got better. And we deepened our relationship, which is already pretty strong. We've known each other for over a decade because of that. So respond. Like, this isn't just a faceless email account. Please respond to us. I love it. A coach recently responded, Mark. He said, in short, culture's overrated. Like, it's just an indefinable term that people lump whatever they want into. You can have a positive culture and suck because your team isn't talented. And you can have a toxic culture and win. I said, I agree with you. You absolutely can. So culture doesn't matter if all you care about is winning the championship. If all you care about is winning a championship. Now, let me give two caveats. First and most important, if you care about the experience that you have as a leader, if you care about the experience that your players have as being on the team, and if you care about making an impact in people's lives outside of basketball, the temperature, the culture at any moment does matter, and it will adjust the standards that you uphold. That's one, first and foremost, right? But if all you care about is winning, you probably won't prioritize culture as highly. But I will say second, if you have two equally talented teams, I do believe the culture will put you over the top. Culture isn't enough to have a team that sucks beat a really talented team, period, okay? But it is one of those margin plays. But I actually think that like if you're only establishing standards for a better culture because of the margin play, you actually won't care about culture enough. That doesn't even matter. It will help, but it doesn't even matter. You have to care about culture for its own sake outside of winning.
Yeah, I think if you're doing the culture piece because you think it's going to get you a couple more wins, then that's good. The coach that has the culture meetings in like August, September, we print the t-shirts with the cool slogan on there, and then we never talk about it again. And honestly, look, like this might land hard for some coaches. If you're only in it to win, and I've been there before, I was very transactional as a coach earlier in my career. So I'm speaking from experience here. If you really only care about winning, I don't want you coaching my son or daughter. Like, I just don't. And I don't care how many games you would win. I don't care how many championships you would win. It just, it's not the experience that I would want for my daughters. So I wouldn't want to create that experience for the players that I'm coaching too, because I do think like I've been a part of, I know this has been a lot of your journey too as a player, but I've been a part of a lot of teams that have won a lot of games and it's miserable and no one's really having fun. And coaches talk about the grind and I'm like, man, like I don't want my program to feel like a grind. I want my program to be fun. And it doesn't mean that we don't have high standards. Doesn't mean that we don't work hard. But like when I think of grind, I'm like, oh, this sucks. Like, I got to go into the gym and go to practice. Like, no one wants to do that. I've been part of teams that have won a lot of games and then we lose in the playoffs and everybody's like, whew, like, we don't have to do that anymore. Like, that's pretty awesome. And if you had the opposite mentality of like, I'll do anything for this not to be over, you probably would have won that game that you're relieved that you lost. So, yeah, culture matters in that way. But I do agree, if you're all about winning, then culture doesn't matter. You know, you could probably get away with it, but I think that's short term too. Like, if you're in it for one season, yeah, you could probably do it. You know, you might be able to get a championship out of it if you got really good talent. If you want to build a program or lead a program, culture is going to be really important.
Okay, let's do this. We'll do this and then that. I've got two things for us. Here's the this. Let's popcorn signs that your culture is weak, signs that culture doesn't matter to you as much as you think it is, or warning signs of a bad culture. Okay, we'll popcorn those first. Then we'll finish up with, and I've got three written down, we'll finish up with what to do instead if you want to change it. Because I think many coaches who are listening to this podcast might have a blind spot. You might think our culture's good. We're fine. I'm a culture coach. We have good culture here. And you might be wrong. So what are some signs of, oh gosh, we need to hold these standards. We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard in order to have a better temperature.
So signs of a team with bad culture, I would say very emotional. They're really high in good games, and then they're really, really low when they perform poorly or lose.
Yes. Okay, I'll do another quick one. Signs of a weak culture, you have a culture coach. Signs of a weak, okay, so you have like one, oh, they're our culture person. That's our culture person. And that just says to me, it's not a shared standard of everyone. Everyone is a culture coach. Everyone cares about culture, not just this one culture coach. Or like an extra, oh, we brought in someone for that, right? Like you brought in someone else for that, and that is enough. I'd say that's usually a sign of a weak culture.
Yeah, I'll go one related where only the head coach cares about culture, even if he is the culture coach, or only the coaching staff. I think the best cultures, players are bought in, and it's more of a horizontal approach or decentralized command where we're all just part of the team and we all know our role in that. And we're all willing to uphold the standards that matter to the program.
Yep. I'm going to say cliques. When you have very clear subgroups within the group of team, usually a sign of a weak culture.
Yep. Bad body language or lack of touches. A pet peeve of mine is walking by a teammate and not getting a touch. It's so easy to get a touch. It's almost, to me at this point, I have to like go out of my way not to get a touch.
Yep. I'm actually going to go with this word, a lack of fight, a lack of fight. So both in practice and in games, when the storm hits, there's a quitting. It's not like, let's fight, right? Both in like, in practices between two groups within your own team, they're not fighting for the win. There's like, whatever, we don't care. And in games,
you're not playing to a purpose higher than winning. Everything is about winning and losing. So when winning's not happening, when things aren't easy, we fall apart. That is a very weak culture. Okay, I will go, we blame, complain, or defend our actions. So a lot of finger pointing, not a level of accountability from an individual standpoint.
Mm-hmm. High levels of frustration from the coaching staff is usually a sign of a weak culture.
Yeah. All right. I heard this and it was like a slap in the face to me when I was a head coach, is if you are yelling after a mistake, bad shot, turnover, poor performance, if you're yelling at the players, what you're really doing is you're telling the whole gym like, hey, this is not a reflection of me. This is the players. This is not me. This is their fault. I'm a better coach than that. In reality, you're not. Like, if your players are doing that, that is a direct reflection of what you've prepared them for. Do we have bad nights? Absolutely. But I think, again, if you're a strong leader, if you're building a good culture, man, when you have a bad night, you're in it with them. Like, it's like, this is a reflection of me. This is us. Like, we're all in the foxhole together. We got to fight our way out of this.
Intent. So a lack of intent or intentionality. So you, like, whether it be in pre-practice, whether it be through, you know, often like drills that you might do a lot or games you might do a lot, just like a boredom and a lack of intent, because intent leads to intensity. right? When you're not really, really clear with your intent, it's like, why are we doing this? And there's no intensity. But if you're like, we have to get better at this. I was drilling this morning. I was drilling 30 minutes of back end dinks with my pickleball partner. And we were working on rolling, no one cares about this, rolling a two-handed backhand dink to get more top spin so it has a heavier ball on the other side of the net, right? So how many backhand dinks have I hit in my life? Thousands and thousands. How many times have I drilled it? Hundreds and hundreds. But now with this new intent, I had a new fervor and intensity. When I missed one, I was frustrated, and I was really trying to get better at this thing because of intent. Like, that's a sign of a positive culture. It's just like, oh, I have to do this because it's on the practice plan. Weak culture.
Yeah, have to versus get to. All right, here's one is when we need a volunteer. Like, all right, give me a couple of demonstrators out here, or hey, give me two players out here, and everybody's really hesitant. I think it's just a sign of a culture that's not maybe don't have a learning mindset or like a growth mindset, but also a sign of a culture that doesn't have psychological safety. Like, ooh, I don't want to be the player that gets out of there, because if I don't do it right, I'm gonna look foolish and I'm gonna get made fun of. The best teams, the best cultures, people are willing to step outside of their comfort zone. They trust each other. That's what you want in a strong culture. That is what one of the signs, the hallmarks of a great culture is psychological safety. Is we all feel safe here. We can speak our mind. We can tell the truth and be ourselves.
Good. Okay, here's my last one for today, and it's related to what you just shared. A lack of questions from players, assistant coaches, and head coaches. Just a lack of questions. Generally, a single voice. And few follow-ups, little discussion on the sidelines when players are waiting to come on, a lack of question discussion.
Yeah. Okay. This is, it reminds me, this will be my last one too. Avoidance. We avoid hard conversations. Players don't give coaches feedback. Even coaches avoid giving players feedback because, well, we don't want to rock the boat. I don't know, that player might respond emotionally. I think that's just an indicator that way back, like we haven't had conversations before the conversation of, hey, I can have this hard conversation with you, because we've already primed this with by establishing standards or by having a one-on-one meeting before, well before this. And so yeah, just avoiding things. If you avoid a problem today, if you're a head coach and you're avoiding something in your program today, it only means you're gonna have to address it later, and it's gonna be a bigger problem later in the season.
Yeah. Okay. So before we segue into the fix, because we always want to give value, we can't work in depth with you here on the podcast, but we can at least give you some value. And it was great. I recently got a message. There was a YouTube comment on this on YouTube from a coach. It's like, I've been deep diving into the channel. I found it so valuable. How can I go deeper? And it was from an athletic director and coach, and give it to all the coaches in my program. And so we got into some comments, and now that coach has joined as a member of our community, $97 a month. And now we can really dive deep and help that coach. And I'm pumped to do that. And I want to do that for every single one of you as well. So right now we are in the midst of a 30-day culture reset, a culture challenge. 10 minutes a day, where if you do these 10-minute challenges daily, you will establish stronger standards and eliminate many of these signs of culture killers that Mark and I just identified. Go to savvycoach.com. Click the link down below. Come and join our community. Like I've said, if after 30 days you don't get $97 of value, we'll give your money back. But here are three things you can do regardless. Try them out. If you want help on doing them, want to make sure you're doing them right, want more tools, join our community. First way to establish standards. Standards are active. Culture is the outcome. So instead of focusing on the outcome, right? Like instead of focusing on the win, your processes, your systems are how you can improve. The scoreboard, the win, is the outcome. So let's not focus on the outcome. Let's focus on the process, because we can actually impact the process. The culture is like the win. The culture is the outcome. So the standards are the process. The standards that you choose to fight for, that you choose to uphold, that's what we're going to focus on. We're not going to focus on the outcome. We're going to use the outcome as data. So here is the first standard, or the standards you choose, the first way that you would approach a standard that you can, that can address these things. Your standards must be a daily conversation. find a rhythm, a process, a place in your day, in your team chat, in your practices, in your weights, where you actually talk about standards daily. You should not interact with your team or do a team activity without standards being discussed. Here's how we're doing on the standard. This is our standard. How do you think we're doing on the standard? What's one way you can uphold the standard? How can be an affirmation? My daughter Charlie was going to, she's joining a club volleyball team. Her first practice was today, right? And so, you know, we just did a quick little affirmation. Like I would say, give your, and she would say best. I would say mistakes, and she says, everybody makes them, right? And then I would say big game, and she said energy. And we did it like 5 or 6 times, right? Give your best. Mistakes, everybody makes them. Big game, energy, right? So those are standards that we're establishing for her athletic participation. So she doesn't hang her head after mistakes. So she focuses on bringing big game energy every single day in practice. So that she focuses on controlling her best, giving her best focus and best effort. So that would be standards. That was a conversation we had today before she went to practice. She hasn't been back yet. I'll let you know how it goes. I'll ask her, right? It'll be another part of our daily conversation. Hey, did you give your best, right? You know, how mistakes. Did you act like they were common, or do you act like, oh, they were life ending? So that would be an example of standard holding.
Yeah. All right. I'll give coaches 2 ways to make standards in everyday conversation with their team. But number one, you as the coach, you've established standards. Now it's your job to support those, right? Here's what I would do before every team meeting is just say, hey, what does a great team meeting look like? And we'd establish the standards around that. And then before the meetings, we just remind, hey, Tyler, give me one characteristic of a great team meeting. Everybody has their phones away. Well, players that have their phones out are like, oh, that's a good reminder, right? Give me another one. Everybody is sitting up. And then players that are kind of slunched down, well, they're going to sit up and have better body language. So just instead of, oh, I'm going to catch somebody doing something wrong, this, you're just going to remind them, right? And you're always reminding your leaders of, hey, remember how we travel, right? What's our, you know, how do we leave the bus? How do we pack the bus? All those things. So you could do that on a daily basis just before you start any activity. But I found a lot of value in standard reviews. If you're a coach and you find something is slipping, let's say a standard is that we're on time or we're 10 minutes early to any practice, and you feel that slipping a little bit, maybe it's over the summer, it's kind of slipping, just, hey, real fast, before we leave today, let's rate ourselves, you know, 1, 2, 3 on how we are on getting to the gym on time. And if they're like a 2, it's like, hey, okay, well, what do we need to do better to make it a 3? We all can, you know, leave the house a little bit earlier, whatever, ride together, carpool, whatever it is. But I think too often we wait for standards just to go haywire and get way below the line. And then we come at them and like we're the disciplinarian and we got to yell and scream, where if it's an everyday conversation, your floor is never going to get too low. You're never going to get too far below the line. So all you're really doing is just hopefully maintaining your high standards instead of having them, you know, make this like big 180 push from below the line to above the line.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, here's my last one. Standards are only those things you're willing to lose for. Story from a coach that I respect, college coach. Postseason game, his two star players went to the cafeteria on campus where they have for sale beverages and stole for sale beverages. That was below their standard. And this was day before game, and he did not play them in the championship or the playoff game. Now, I'm not saying that is the consequence you should always have for breaking a standard. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this coach cared enough about that particular standard, whatever the standard was, that he was willing to lose for them. He cared more about the standard than winning the game. It's not a standard unless you care more about that. You might make a different decision in the moment. Like we could talk about rules and consequences and all that, but you're willing to lose for them. And that, I think, is a great full circle bookend to where we started this conversation, which is, culture, you can win with bad culture. Absolutely. And if you care more about winning than your culture, you will never have a standard, because a standard is something you're willing to lose for. Not just you care more about culture than winning, you're willing to not just, you know, not be your best, you're willing to lose because you care so much about this.
Yeah, my mind went to the exact same place. Is the coach that doesn't care about culture is going to play those players. The coach that prioritizes culture will have some kind of consequence. Again, doesn't have to be sitting those players, but there's going to be some kind of consequence for being below the line.
Yeah. Culture is the temperature of your team currently. Culture is a product of the standards you establish. If you don't care about the temperature of your team, you only care about the win-loss record of your team, you won't care about standards and you won't have a culture. What's the negative of that? You could have a pretty miserable coaching career. You could be frustrated and angry most of the time when you're coaching. The players won't be transformed outside of their wins and losses. And you won't have established an identity of your program outside of when you have talent. That's the danger. If you don't care about that danger, you don't care about culture. If you care, if that concerns you, if you don't want that, you're going to care about culture. And so you'll establish and hold standards. And here at Savvy, we care about those things. And if you're a coach that cares about those things, welcome. This is the place for you. If you're not yet a coach that cares about those things, talk to you in a couple of years. Because I find that coaches care about those things more and more as they progress and mature as a coach and a leader. So maybe right now is not the right time for you and Savvy. Hopefully we get to see you in a short period of time. Hopefully we get to see you at some point in the future.
Well said. Yeah, really good. I mean, I think if you're a coach that excels with culture, hop in. We'll give you some new ways to do it, right? Some fresh ideas. If you're a coach that's frustrated, you don't have the culture that you want, you're not feeling fulfilled as a coach, I know we could help you with that. And you're listening to this, if you're listening to this right now, it's June, it's summer league time. It's a great time to put the X's and O's aside and try some culture things, try to shift the mindset to more standards and behaviors. And I think you'll like the returns that you get on it.
Beautiful. That is Mark. I'm Tyler. We are Savvy Coaching. Until next time, stay savvy. Peace.